Let's talk about the Olympics. Cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. It's time for the Olympics. And you might be wondering, did I survive? Or is this Anthony's doppelganger? I survived the Wicklow Way. If you listen back to the last podcast episode, I was embarking on, and I've always wanted to use this word, an intrepid adventure. Can I now call myself an intrepid explorer? The Wicklow Way was absolutely epic. From trudging through fields, hike a bike, foraging for, you know, water in streams. I don't even know if you can forage for water, but I'm going to do a full episode on it tomorrow. I wanted to talk about the Olympics today because we had Mathieu van der Poel going in the mountain bike race today. And while I was away over the last few days, we had the men's road race as well. So I wanted to just recap all of that before putting that to bed. I'll talk about the Wicklow Way tomorrow and then an amazing guest again with one of the key people in a tracking app I'm using a lot at the moment called Komoot. They're a rival to Strava, more for adventures and planning things like the Wicklow Way, and it's actually how I plan my trip using Komoot. I'm going to talk with them on Wednesday. So we've an exciting action-packed weekend coming up, but we're going to kick it off. Monday is my I love Wednesday because it's interview day, but I do love Monday because there's such fresh possibilities on a Monday. The week is just a blank canvas, and I have this mad enthusiasm for everything I can accomplish for the week. So I'm excited to kick this one off, and I'm encountering a massive frustration with the Olympics at the moment. And I tweeted about this earlier, and it's like a recurring theme for me now. I wake up, I knew the mountain bike race was on, but I have a bunch of stuff recorded on my Sky player through the night. So I'm like, okay, what time was the mountain bike race on at, so I can start to see what recording is relevant? So I go online to figure out what time the mountain bike race was recorded, and then I see a picture of the winner of the mountain bike race, which just totally spoils the fucking mountain bike race I've literally been waiting 6 months for. And this is what's happened to me in so many Olympic events. But that's a side note of just frustrating. Someone come up with a solution to that and you're going to be a rich, wealthy person. So we'd Mathieu van der Poel go on the mountain bike race today, and we'd mad drama because van der Poel smashed himself on lap one of the mountain bike race. Very, very uncharacteristic error for him. And at the time I was like, how is that possible? Nerves. He went over a jump section, and instead of getting his weight back, he had his weight forward. So as he went over the jump, he just barreled head over heels. And it turns out afterwards, we have Mathieu van der Poel coming out and talking about how he didn't know the jump was there. He thought there was going to be a board there. And his teammates found this sort of strange, but van der Poel took to social media and he put a picture of it, and he's saying, like, everyone that knows me knows how bad I want this, how hard I worked for it. And the board was there in practice, the board was there in reconnaissance, and he wasn't told that the board wouldn't be there on race day. So he came over the top of the jump expecting a board to roll down, and it was gone. His teammate Vader was a little baffled. He came out after and said, it's hard to say, we did talk about this over lunch today. Mathieu said, gosh, everyone jumps there. I asked, won't you then? He said, no, I'll roll off the plank. Then I said to him, but they had removed the plank in the test event competition in 2009. I was not aware of it. The plank was there during the reconnaissance, van der Poel said, and I only heard it had been removed for the test event. Didn't know it was removed for the main event. So it just seems it was mass confusion. And in an era where we expect everything to be controlled, where nutrition's controlled, the taper's controlled, environment's controlled, we've heard about Pidcock sleeping in a heat chamber before it, so many of the million variables in a bike race are now controllable, that something as simple as this, you know, a basic communication error, understanding and knowing the course, that undoes one of the best bike riders in the world. It's a little bit tragic, and I feel doubly robbed. Robbed because I didn't get to watch the race without knowing the winner, and robbed because we never got this Pidcock Vanderpoel showdown, which we were all hoping for. And to be fair to Pidcock, he's 7-8 days shy of his 22nd birthday, and he pulled off the gold, which is absolutely great ride from him. From Flukinger from Switzerland, beaten by 20 seconds, and Davide Valero claimed bronze from Spain. There wasn't that much drama in the race, although it's worth watching if you haven't seen it already, just for the feat of engineering and construction from the Tokyo Olympic Committee. The mountain bike race is entirely man-made, and from bridges to forests, and it's brilliant, it's spectacular. So go check that out. We won't leave the topic of Olympics just yet. Just when you thought this podcast might be running out of steam, I want to talk about the road race and what we can kind of learn from the road race, because we've seen the snake winning. Carapaz, the snake, and he won. And, you know, I've talked about why I don't like Carapaz. I think a man is as word as his bond, and he went and he shook the hands of his movie star teammates and manager and said he'd be there for one more year at a time when he had an Ineos contract in his back pocket. You do not come back from that. Not on this podcast. This podcast, it's a life sentence for that. And you are Carapaz, the snake, forevermore. But we learned a couple of things from it, definitely, that the strongest rider in the race doesn't always win. Carapaz, whatever my opinions about him being a snake and dishonourable, he knows how to ride his bike. He's aggressive. He's attacking. He knows he's not the strongest in the race, but he's a good little all-rounder. He can TT when he gets away solo on the road bike. He can climb well enough, you know, just off the back of a podium on the Tour de France to pull off a gold medal. It's astonishing. And, you know, he should be very proud of that, and no doubt he is. But Pogacar and Wout van Aert are kind of what I want to talk about, because they almost cancelled each other out in a lot of ways. We'd seen Pogacar and he seemed disappointed in the post-race press conference. I feel like he thinks he should be able to just ride away every time there's an incline, and he wasn't able to ride away because Mike Woods was able to go with him and Brandon McNulty was able to go with him, and it was over the top when it plateaued and Wout van Aert dragged everyone else back up. The Carapaz got away again in an opportunistic attack with McNulty. So it just shows you that timing, you know, beats absolute power. Obviously, you know, you need a certain amount of power. That's your entry requirement into these type of moves, but you do need that guile and that smarts as well. And when everyone is watching you, like happening Pogacar and Wout van Aert, it can be difficult to get separation because, you know, there's a big effect of being in somebody's draft. And Wout van Aert struck me as a man, as did Pogacar, a man who wanted this too much. Wout van Aert was willing to take on a crazy amount of work, and it ultimately didn't pay for him. He walked away with a silver medal in his back pocket, which is not a bad result, but a competitor like he is, he went there for gold. One of the big takeaways we can get from this road race is Brandon McNulty. He rode brilliant for Pogacar, his trade teammate in the Tour de France. The fact that he was able to recover away in the decisive move with Carapaz, blew up a little bit, but still hold on and get sixth, it just firstly illustrates how close he was to a medal, but it really bodes well for US finally having a Grand Tour contender. And I think Tyler Hamilton was the last US rider to win an Olympic gold. McNulty was close. No cigar. He's not going to do it in the TT. He's not that sort of rider. But the next games, he's still super young. Could the US finally have a GC contender? He looks a very, very complete rider. The best we've seen coming out of the US in years. Maybe since TJ Van Garderen showed that early promise going to win in stages of Tour of California. And, you know, other takeaways from it. Ireland rode great and super proud of the boys. Eddie Dunbar, Dan Martin and Nicholas Roach. And they rode like a real team. And often we're kind of used to Irish teams going and, you know, being, you know, GB's poorer little relation and, you know, having a very substandard team. But not the case at all. We had three of the best bike riders in the world. And, you know, testament to Nico Roach for sticking his hand up and working for the lads with no ego about him. This is his fourth Olympics, and I've had him on the podcast a couple of times. His fourth Olympics, and he's happy to carry bottles for the Cantwerk man, Dunbar, who got away in a super promising move with Remco Evenepoel, and Nibali went along to do a little bit of babysitting for the two younger lads. He just couldn't trust them on his own. Little pesky whippets. Went really well. Ultimately, Dan just didn't have the legs at the vital time. Missed the split. I think he ended up 16th or something like that. Kieran Power and Dan Martin still have Ireland's best result. Shout out to Kieran Power, a legend of a man. I think it was 13th in Atlanta, which was equaled by Dan Martin in Rio. And spare a thought for Geraint Thomas, because he is a man who should not buy a lottery ticket. If there's a crash to be had, you'll find Geraint Thomas at the bottom of it. I don't know if his eyesight's gone, if his luck is gone, whatever it is. He picked himself up off the ground and he had the look of a man who was broken, who was empty, who was dejected, and who just needs to call a day on this season, walk the fuck away, go on holidays with his missus, recharge and figure what he wants out of cycling, because it's such a frustrating end to the season for him. He great formed the Dauphiné and Tour of Suisse to go into the Tour de France and then just constantly hit the deck and then the Olympics again. And you know, that's hurting the former Tour de France winner. It has to be. And it's a streak of massive unluckiness, or else there's something going wrong with Geraint Thomas. Roadmen, I'm going to wrap it up here for the Olympic roundup. We still have TT to come. I'm going to be back tomorrow and I'm going to talk about the Wicklow Way and my trials and tribulations of, I think, 3,200 metres plus a climb and 16 hours, 17 hours nearly in the saddle over 2 days, 30 plus degrees. Trying to find water in streams, hike a bike, and all the other adventures in between. Roadmen, I'll be back tomorrow. Ride safe. Chat then. Hey everybody, it's Anthony again. Really quick, I want to invite you to join arguably the best thing I've ever put out inside the Roadman community. It's a challenge. It's a challenge called the 14-Day Kickstart Challenge. So regardless of where your fitness is at right now, this is going to be the catalyst for making you faster and making you leaner. I've created this challenge to take the guesswork out of everything. It's 14 days of training plans, regardless of what your level is. There's masters, beginner, advanced. There's meal plans, shopping list, and even a video course holding your hand and talking you through it all. So what I recommend you do right now is just stop everything, press pause on this audio, and go to roadmancycling.com/14-day, or check out the link in the bio. That's roadmancycling.com/14-day.